Intermediary relationships. We do have a conflict when representing both sides of a transaction. All states have a mechanism for resolving the conflict created when a broker represents a buyer who wants to purchase one of the broker's listings. Some states use a method known as dual agency to resolve the conflict. Dual agency is a practice that allows a real estate firm to represent both sides of a transaction, buyer and seller, landlord and tenant. At the same time, in dual agency, the broker represents both parties with their written permission. While there are differences from one state to another, all dual agency laws deal with the conflict that arises when the broker has an agency duty to both sides of a transaction. A. Dual agency broker may appoint a designated agent to represent the buyer or the seller. Complying with the duties of representation is difficult in a dual agency situation. The easiest duty of the dual agent is accounting. In all other areas, the parties are likely to have conflicting interests. In Texas, we must use intermediary instead of dual agency. Intermediary is a process that makes it possible to bring client buyers and sellers together while representing their best interests at the same time. When this type of transaction occurs, the broker becomes the intermediary. Since the broker has a personal duty to represent both sides, it is only appropriate to remain neutral and avoid negotiating for either party. The broker cannot do anything that would give an advantage to one client at the expense of the other. In order to practice intermediary, the broker must have the written consent of both parties. The written consent must state the source of any anticipated compensation. Brokers generally obtain the seller's written consent when they sign a listing agreement. We most often obtain written consent from the buyer when they sign a buyer representation agreement. In that written consent, the seller is giving the broker permission to show their property to buyers whom the broker also represents. Likewise, the buyer provides the broker with written consent to show them the firm's listings. Two forms of intermediary. Intermediary with appointments. Notice that our in-house sale involves two agents of Broker Bob, Sue with the seller and Bill with the buyer. In this situation, Broker Bob will most likely appoint Sue to represent the seller and Bill to represent the buyer. This is referred to as intermediary with appointments. The appointed associates will give their respective parties advice and opinions, i.e., negotiate. The broker must make the appointments, most likely by using the intermediary relationship notice. Sue and Bill do not become appointed associates until the broker makes the appointments. Intermediary without appointments. Sometimes an agent will have the opportunity to sell their own listing. When this happens, it is known as intermediary without appointments. Under intermediary rules, Agent Sue can go ahead and complete the transaction, but cannot give advice and opinions to either party. This process is called intermediary without appointments. Like the broker, Sue cannot negotiate for one client to the detriment of the other. When the intermediary process begins, the intermediary relationship notice, TXR1409, must be filled out by members of the NAR. There will be no appointments in this case because only one agent is in the transaction. Intermediary without appointments, liability issues. Some brokers feel that intermediary without appointments carries a level of liability that is unacceptable. There is certainly the chance that someone could later claim they were not treated equally, paid too much, or received too little in a transaction. Because of this liability, some brokers bring in another of the firm's agents to make appointments. If this is done, the buyer is usually appointed to the other agent. Moving from intermediary without appointments to intermediary with appointments can reduce liability and possibly make clients more comfortable with the transaction. To appoint or not is at the discretion of the broker. As illustrated in the diagram, Agent Sue, the agent on both sides of the transaction, will earn $10,000 in this sale. If the broker has a policy of appointing the buyer to another agent, how does that affect Sue financially? Fortunately for Sue, compensation is a separate issue. Each firm will have a policy on handling compensation when another agent must be appointed. Intermediary is designed to address a specific issue. How can a broker bring together a buyer and seller, each being represented by the broker while protecting the interest of all parties. There are three simple guidelines used to determine if a transaction must be done under intermediary rules. The transaction must be an in-house sale. Both sides, buyer/seller or landlord/tenant, must be clients. The broker has the client's written consent. If both of the above conditions are met, we must determine whether it is intermediary with or intermediary without appointments. Use the following rule as a guide. If one agent is involved, that is, one agent is selling their own listing to their own buyer, we have intermediary without appointments. The agent will not provide advice or opinions to the party's realtors. The intermediary relationship notice, TXR-1409, must be completed. If two agents are involved, one working with the seller and the other with the buyer, we will probably have intermediary with appointments. The agents will provide both advice and opinions to their respective parties. However, remember, the appointments must be made using the intermediary relationship notice, TXR-1409. Intermediary rules prevail, which means if a broker represents both sides of a transaction, that broker must do so as an intermediary and comply with all of the provisions of the License Act. Variations on the in-house sale. Some brokers, like Broker Susan, below, left, are brokers who have no license holders. Can they do an intermediary transaction? They can, but are limited to intermediary without appointments. A broker might have just one agent on board. In that case, the broker is actively listing and selling property. In the above right example, Broker Susan is the listing agent, and Agent Sean, her only agent, has a client buyer. They can do this transaction, but are limited to intermediary without appointments for two reasons. As the intermediary, Broker Bob can never be an appointed associate. We cannot appoint Sean to Michelle because we cannot appoint an associate to one side without appointing an associate to the other side. The transaction can proceed, but neither the broker nor the agent can give advice or opinions. Intermediary with appointments requires that the broker sponsor at least two agents. Another possibility is the customer buyer in an in-house transaction. We can proceed with the transaction, but it is not intermediary. Remember, intermediary addresses the issue of both sides being a client. If the buyer is a customer, all of the Acme agents represent the seller in the transaction. In this example, Agent Bill owes full fiduciary responsibilities to seller Steve and owes a duty of honesty and fairness to buyer Chris. When does the intermediary process begin? The broker obtains written consent to practice intermediary from the seller in the listing agreement and the buyer in the buyer's representation agreement. That consent anticipates the possibility that an intermediary transaction might take place. After all, when the seller signs a listing agreement, we do not generally have a particular buyer in mind. Likewise, when a buyer signs a buyer's representation agreement, we do not usually have a particular property in mind. When showing properties to buyers, some will be listed by the agent's firm, and some will be listed by competing firms. In each showing of one of the firm's listings, we must have obtained intermediary consent from the sellers and the buyer in order to show the property. If the buyer purchases a home listed by another firm, we have a cooperative sale with single buyer representation. The listing firm represents the seller, and the selling firm represents the buyer. Suppose the buyer wishes to make an offer on one of the firm's listings. In that case, we are moving into an intermediary transaction. The intermediary process begins when the buyer is ready to make an offer. At this point, realtors complete the intermediary relationship notice, and the broker makes appointments if necessary. The time that elapses from the initial showing of the in-house listing and the beginning of the negotiation process presents some issues. As the agent is in the showing stage, they still have a fiduciary duty of representation to both seller and buyer. They should refrain from any behavior that would violate these duties. Actual negotiation cannot begin until the license holder becomes an appointed associate. Perhaps the best advice is to keep that period as short as possible. When it becomes apparent that a client buyer is interested in one of the firm's listings, the agent should notify the parties with the intermediary relationship notice as soon as possible. In summary, the written consent to practice intermediary is obtained when the seller signs a listing agreement and the buyer signs a buyer's representation agreement. The intermediary process begins when the buyer is ready to negotiate the purchase of one of the broker's listings, in-house sale. Questions and answers regarding disclosure of agency and intermediary practice. The following questions and answers, one, have been developed to assist licensees in complying with the disclosure of agency and intermediary practice provisions, representation provisions, of the Real Estate License Act, TREE Law, or the Act. The provisions include sections 1001.558 to 1001.561 and section 1001.651D of the Occupations Code. These answers are intended to address general situations only and are not intended as legal opinions addressing the duties and obligations of licensees in specific transactions. What licensees say and do in a specific transaction may cause these general answers to be inapplicable or inaccurate. Licensees should consult their own attorneys for legal advice concerning the law's effect on their brokerage practices. Q. Explain how a typical intermediary relationship is created and how it would operate. A. At the first substantive dialogue with a seller or a prospective buyer, the salespersons or brokers associated with a firm would provide the parties with a copy of the statutory information about agency required by TREE Law. The statutory information includes an explanation of the intermediary relationship. The brokerage firm would negotiate a written listing contract with a seller and a written buyer representation agreement with a buyer. In those documents, the respective parties would authorize the broker to act as an intermediary and to appoint associated licensees to work with the parties in the event that the buyer wishes to purchase a property listed with the firm. At this point, the broker and associated licensees would still be functioning as exclusive agents of the individual parties. The listing contract and buyer representation agreement would contain in conspicuous bold or underlined print the broker's obligations set forth in Section 1101.651D of TREE Law. When it becomes evident that the buyer represented by the firm wishes to purchase property listed with the firm, the intermediary status will come into play, and the intermediary may appoint different associates to work with the parties. The intermediary would notify both parties in writing of the appointments of licensees to work with the parties. The associates would provide advice and opinions to their respective parties during negotiations, and the intermediary broker would be careful not to favor one party over the other in any action taken by the intermediary. Q. What is an intermediary? A. An intermediary is a broker who negotiates the transaction between the parties subject to the representation provisions of the Act. The intermediary may, with the written consent of the parties, appoint licensees associated with the intermediary to work with and advise the party to whom they have been appointed. Q. Is dual agency authorized by the representation provisions? A. A licensee may not represent both parties as a dual agent under revisions to the Act, under SB 8, 1079th Legislature, 2005, effective September 1, 2005, Occupations Code, Section 1101.561B provides that a broker must agree to act as an intermediary under this subchapter if the broker agrees to represent in a transaction a buyer or tenant and a seller or landlord. Since a broker must act as an intermediary pursuant to this new provision, a licensee cannot act as a dual agent. To the extent a dual agency relationship is created by accident or otherwise, a licensee must resolve the matter by complying with the notice and consent requirements of the representation provisions to act as an intermediary or by representing one of the parties only and working with the other party as a customer. Q. When must the broker act as an intermediary? A. If the broker and associates are going to continue to work with parties they have been representing under listing contracts or buyer representation agreements, the intermediary role is the only way to handle in-house transactions, providing both parties the same level of service. Q. If a salesperson or associated broker lists a property and has also been working with a prospective buyer under a representation agreement, how can the salesperson or associated broker sell this listing under the representation provisions? A. There are three alternatives for the brokerage firm and the parties to consider. 1. The firm, acting through the salesperson or associated broker, could represent one of the parties and work with the other party as a customer rather than as a client. Realistically, this probably means working with the buyer as a customer and terminating the buyer representation agreement. 2. If the firm has obtained permission in writing from both parties to be an intermediary and to appoint licensees to work with the parties, the salesperson or associated broker could be appointed by the intermediary to work with one of the parties. Note, another licensee would have to be appointed to work with the other party under this alternative. The law does not permit an intermediary to appoint the same licensee to work with both parties. 3. If the firm has obtained permission in writing from both parties to be an intermediary, but does not appoint different associates to work with the parties, the salesperson or broker associate could function as a representative of the firm. Since the firm is an intermediary, the salesperson and associated broker also would be subject to the requirement not to act so as to favor one party over the other. Q. If a salesperson may provide services to a party under the representation provisions without being appointed, why would a broker want to appoint a salesperson to work with a party? A. Appointment following the procedures set out in the representation provisions would permit the salesperson to provide a higher level of service. The appointed salesperson may provide advice and opinions to the party to whom the salesperson is assigned and is not subject to the intermediary's statutory duty of not acting so as to favor one party over the other. Q. Is an intermediary an agent? A. Yes, but the duties and obligations of an intermediary are different than those of exclusive or single agents. Q. What are the duties and obligations of an intermediary? A. The representation provisions require the intermediary to obtain written consent from both parties to act as an intermediary. A written listing agreement to represent a seller shall landlord, or a written buyer shall tenant representation agreement, which contains authorization for the broker to act as an intermediary between the parties, is sufficient for the purposes of the representation provisions if the agreement sets forth, in conspicuous bold or underlined print, the broker's obligations under Section 1101.651D, and the agreement states who will pay the broker. If the intermediary is to appoint associated licensees to work with the parties, the intermediary must obtain written permission from both parties and give written notice of the appointments to each party. The intermediary is also required to treat the parties fairly and honestly and to comply with TRILA. The intermediary is prohibited from acting so as to favor one party over the other and may not reveal confidential information obtained from one party without the written instructions of that party, unless disclosure of that information is required by TRILA, court order, or the information materially relates to the condition of the property. The intermediary and any associated licensees appointed by the intermediary are prohibited from disclosing without written authorization that the seller will accept a price less than the asking price, or that the buyer will pay a price greater than the price submitted in a written offer. Q. Can salespersons act as intermediaries? A. Only a broker can contract with the parties to act as an intermediary between them. In that sense, only a broker can be an intermediary. If, however, the broker intermediary does not appoint associated licensees to work with the parties in a transaction, any salesperson or broker associates of the intermediary who function in that transaction would be required to act just as the intermediary does, not favoring one party over the other. Q. Can there be two intermediaries in the same transaction? A. No. Q. Can a broker representing only the buyer be an intermediary? A. Ordinarily, no. The listing broker will be the intermediary, in the case of an FISBO or other seller who is not already represented by a broker. The broker representing the buyer could secure the consent of both parties to act as an intermediary. Q. May an intermediary appoint a sub-agent in another firm to work with one of the parties? A. Sub-agency is still permitted under the law, but a sub-agent in another firm cannot be appointed as one of the intermediary's associated licensees under the representation provisions of the Act. Q. May the same salesperson be appointed by the intermediary to work with both parties in the same transaction? A. No. The law requires the intermediary to appoint different associated licensees to work with each party. Q. May more than one associated licensee be appointed by the intermediary to work with the same party? A. Yes. Q. What is the difference between an appointed licensee working with a party and a licensee associated with the intermediary who has not been appointed to work with one party? A. During negotiations, the appointed licensee may advise the person to whom the licensee has been appointed. An associated licensee who has not been appointed must act in the same manner as the intermediary, that is, not giving opinions and advice, and not favoring one party over the other. Q. Who decides whether a broker will act as intermediary, the broker or the parties? A. Initially, the broker, in determining the policy of the firm. If the broker does not wish to act as an intermediary, nothing requires the broker to do so. If the broker's policy is to offer services as an intermediary, both parties must authorize the broker in writing before the broker may act as an intermediary or appoint licensees to work with each of the parties. Q. When must the intermediary appoint the licensees associated with the intermediary to work with the parties? A. This is a judgment call for the intermediary. If appointments are going to be made, they should be made before the buyer begins to receive advice and opinions from an associated licensee in connection with the property listed with the broker. If the broker appoints the associates at the time the listing contract and buyer representation agreements are signed, it should be clear that the appointments are effective only when the intermediary relationship arises. The intermediary relationship does not exist until the parties who have authorized it begin to deal with each other in a proposed real estate transaction. For example, the buyer begins to negotiate to purchase the seller's property. Prior to the creation of the intermediary relationship, the broker will typically be acting as an exclusive agent of each party. It is important to remember that both parties must be notified in writing of both appointments. If, for example, the listing agent is appointed, at the time the listing is taken, care must be taken to ensure that the buyer is ultimately also given written notice of the appointment. When a buyer client begins to show interest in a property listed with the firm, and both parties have authorized the intermediary relationship, the seller must be notified in writing as to which associate has been appointed to work with the buyer. Q. Can the intermediary delegate to another person the authority to appoint licensees associated with the intermediary? A. The intermediary may delegate to another licensee the authority to appoint associated licensees. If the intermediary authorizes another licensee to appoint associated licensees to work with the parties, however, that person must not appoint himself or herself as one of the associated licensees, as this would be an improper combination of the different functions of intermediary and associated licensee. It is also important to remember that there will be a single intermediary even if another licensee has been authorized to make appointments. Q. May a broker act as a dual agent? A. A broker may not act as a dual agent under Occupations Code, Section 1100.1561b, which provides that a broker must agree to act as an intermediary under this subchapter if the broker agrees to represent in a transaction a buyer or tenant and a seller or landlord. Q. What are the agency disclosure requirements for real estate licensees? A. to disclose their representation of a party upon the first contact with a party or a licensee representing another party. Q. Is disclosure of agency required to be in writing? A. The disclosure may be oral or in writing. Q. Are licensees required to provide parties with written information relating to agency? A. Yes. The representation provisions require licensees to provide the parties with a copy of a written statement, the content of which is specified in the statute. The form of the statement may be varied, so long as the text of the statement is in at least 10-point type. Q. Are there exceptions when the statutory statement is not required? A. Yes. The statement is required to be provided when the first substantive dialogue occurs between a party and the licensee, at which discussion occurs with respect to specific real property. The statement is not required for either of the following: 1. A transaction, which is a residential lease no longer than 1 year and no sale is being considered. Or 2. A meeting with a party represented by another licensee. Q. Are the disclosure and statutory information requirements applicable to commercial transactions, new home sales, farm and ranch sales, or transactions other than residential sales? A. Except as noted above, the requirements are applicable to all real estate transactions. Licensees dealing with landlords and tenants are permitted by the law to modify their versions of the statutory statement to use the terms landlord and tenant in place of the terms seller and buyer. Q. What are the penalties for licensees who fail to comply with the representation provisions? A. Failure to comply is a violation of tree law, punishable by reprimand, by suspension or revocation of a license, or by an administrative penalty, fine. Q. In what way do the representation provisions prohibit or permit disclosed dual agency? A. The representation provisions prohibit disclosed dual agency. Q. Is the licensee required, under any circumstance, to provide the written statement to buyer prospects at properties held open for prospective buyers? A. An encounter at an open house is not a meeting for the purposes of the representation provisions. A licensee would not be required to provide the statutory statement at the open house. However, at the first substantive dialogue thereafter with the buyer regarding a specific property and during which substantive discussions occur, the licensee will be required to provide the statement. Q. When acting as an appointed licensee, what agency limitations does the licensee have when communicating with a buyer, tenant, or seller, landlord that an agent representing one party only doesn't have? A. The appointed licensee may not, except as permitted by Section 11.01.651D of TREE LA, disclose to either party confidential information received from the other party. A licensee representing one party would not be prohibited from revealing confidential information to the licensee's principal, and if the information were material to the principal's decision, would be required to reveal the information to the principal. Q. If a buyer's agent is required to disclose that licensee's agency status to a listing broker when setting up an appointment showing, must the listing broker also disclose to the buyer's agent that the listing broker represents the seller? A. Yes, on the first contact with the licensee representing the buyer. Q. Does the TREC encourage brokerage companies to act for more than one party in the same transaction? A. No. Q. Must the intermediary broker furnish written notice to each party to a transaction when the broker designates the appointed licensees? A. Yes. Q. How is a property showing different from a proposed transaction? A. The question appears to be, may an associate show property listed with the associate's broker while representing the buyer without first being appointed by the intermediary? And if so, why? Yes. Only showing property does not require the associate to be appointed because it does not require the licensee to give advice or opinions. Only an appointed associate may offer opinions or advice to a party. Of course, if no appointments are made, the associate will be working with the party and will not be authorized to provide opinions or advice. Q. Does TREC recommend that licensees provide a written disclosure of agency? A. It is the licensee's choice as to whether disclosure is in writing or oral, just as it is the licensee's choice as to whether proof of disclosure will be easy or difficult. Q. Our company policy requires all buyers and sellers to agree to the intermediary practice before commencing to work with them. Does the law permit a broker employment agreement to specify this practice only? A. If by broker employment agreement you mean a listing contract or buyer representation agreement, yes. Q. What are the differences between the duties provided to the seller or landlord by the intermediary broker and the duties provided to the buyer or tenant by the appointed licensee? A. The intermediary and the appointed licensees do not provide duties. They perform services under certain duties imposed by the law. The intermediary is authorized to negotiate a transaction between the parties, but not to give advice or opinions to them in negotiations. The appointed licensee may provide advice or opinions to the party to which the licensee has been appointed. Both intermediary and appointed licensee are obligated to treat the parties honestly and are prohibited from revealing confidential information or other information addressed in Section 11.01.651D of TRELOP Q. Must each party's identity be revealed to the other party before an intermediary transaction can occur? A. Yes. If associates are going to be appointed by the intermediary, the law provides that the appointments are made by giving written notice to both parties. To give notice, the intermediary must identify the party and the associates appointed to that party. The law does not require notice if no appointments are going to be made. The law provides that the listing contract and buyer representation agreement are sufficient to establish the written consent of the party if the obligations of the broker under Section 11.01.651D are set forth in conspicuous bold or underlined print. Q. As a listing agent, I hold open houses. If a buyer prospect enters who desires to purchase the property at that time, can I represent that buyer? And if so, must my broker designate me as an appointed licensee and provide the parties with written notice before I prepare the purchase offer? A. As a representative of the seller, you would be obligated to disclose your representation to the buyer at the first contact. The disclosure may be in writing or oral. As an associate of the listing broker, you can enter into a buyer representation agreement for your broker to act as an intermediary in a transaction involving this buyer and the owner of the property. If the owner has similarly authorized the broker to act as an intermediary, it will depend on the firm's policy whether appointments are to be made. If appointments are not going to be made, you may proceed in the transaction as an unappointed licensee with a duty of not favoring one party over the other. If appointments are going to be made, the parties must both be notified in writing before you may provide opinions or advice to the buyer in negotiations. Q. I have a salesperson's license through a broker, and I also have a licensed assistant. Can that assistant be an appointed licensee under me as an intermediary? A. Your broker, not you, will be the intermediary. The intermediary may appoint a licensed associate to work with a party. If the licensed assistant is an associate of the broker, the licensed assistant could be appointed by the intermediary to work with one of the parties. If the licensed assistant is not an associate of the broker, the licensed assistant cannot be appointed. Note: if the licensed assistant is licensed as a salesperson, the licensed assistant must be sponsored by and acting for a broker to be authorized to perform any act for which a real estate license is required. If the licensed assistant is sponsored by a broker who is not associated with the intermediary, the licensed assistant would not be considered an associate of the intermediary either. Q. I am a listing agent, and a buyer prospect wants to buy the property I have listed. How can I sell my own listing? A. You could alter the agency relationships and only represent one party. You could be appointed to work with one party, and another associate could be appointed to work with the other party, or no appointments would be made, or you could work with the parties being careful not to favor one over the other or provide advice or opinions to them. Q. Must the respective appointed licensees each provide an opinion of value to the respective buyer prospect and seller prospect? A. At the time a property is listed, the licensee is obligated to advise the owner as to the licensee's opinion of the market value of the property. Once appointments have been made, the appointed associates are permitted, but not required, to provide the party to whom they have been appointed with opinions and advice during negotiations. Q. How can the intermediary broker advise the seller or buyer on value, escrow deposit amount, repair expenses, or interest rates? A. When the listing contract or buyer representation agreement has come into existence and no intermediary status yet exists, the broker may advise the parties generally on such matters. Offers from or to parties not represented by the intermediary's firm may have made the parties knowledgeable on these matters. Once the intermediary status has been created, however, the intermediary broker may not express opinions or give advice during negotiations. Information about such matters, which does not constitute an opinion or advice, may be supplied in response to questions. For example, the intermediary could tell the buyer what the prevailing interest rate is without expressing an opinion or giving advice. The seller's question about the amount of earnest money could be answered with the factual answer that, in the broker's experience, the amount of the earnest money is usually $1,500 to $2,000, depending on the amount of the sales price. If the buyer asks what amount of money should be in the offer, the intermediary could respond with the factual statement that, in the intermediary's experience, those offers closest to the listing price tend to be accepted by the seller. The intermediary also could refer the party to an attorney, accountant, loan officer, or other professional for advice. Q. I was the listing agent for a property that didn't sell, but was listed by another broker after the expiration of my agreement. I now have a buyer client who wants to see that same property. Must the new broker, or my broker, designate me as an appointed licensee, or how may I otherwise act? A. Assuming an agreement with the listing broker as regards cooperation and compensation, you may represent the buyer as an exclusive agent. You cannot be appointed by the intermediary because you are not an associate of the listing broker, and from the facts as you describe them, no intermediary status is going to arise. Confidential information obtained from the seller when you were acting as the seller's agent, of course, could not be disclosed to your new client, the buyer. Q. How is the intermediary broker responsible for the actions of appointed licensees when a difference of opinion of property value estimates is provided? A. Brokers are responsible for the actions of their salespersons under TRELE. Opinions of property values may be different and yet not indicative of error or mistake by the salespersons. If a salesperson makes an error or mistake, the sponsoring broker is responsible to the public and to TREC under Section 1001.803 of TRELE Q. Although both the buyer and the seller initially consented to the intermediary broker practice at the time, each signed a broker employment agreement. Must each party consent again to a specific transaction to ensure there are no potential conflicts? A. TRELE does not require a second written consent. TRELE does require written notice of any appointments, and the written notice would probably cause any objection to be resolved at that point. A broker would not be prohibited from obtaining a second consent as a business practice, so that potential conflicts are identified and resolved. The sales contract, of course, would typically identify the parties and show the intermediary relationship if the broker completes the broker identification and ratification of fee at the end of the TREC contract form. Q. In the absence of the appointed licensees, can the intermediary broker actually negotiate a purchase offer between the parties? A. Yes. See the answer to the question relating to the duties of an intermediary. Q. May a licensee include the statutory statement in a listing agreement or buyer representation agreement, either in the text of the agreement or as an exhibit? A. Yes, But the licensee should provide the prospective party with a separate copy of the statutory statement as soon as it is practicable at their first substantive dialogue. Specialized intermediary applications. Residential transactions represent the most clear-cut examples of intermediary practice. Special issues arise in various non-residential transactions, including farm and ranch, commercial sales, commercial leasing, syndicates, development projects. One of the persistent issues in non-residential transactions is the tendency to use oral agreements on both sides of the transaction. Buyers are often reluctant to enter into a written buyer-tenant representation agreement. That business culture causes several problems: lack of client loyalty, lack of written authorization to practice intermediary, a sometimes casual attitude toward disclosure requirements and written agreements in general. Agents must be careful to determine who has representation in a transaction. In many cases, both sides of the transaction have attorneys representing them. In cases where they do not have attorneys, or in any case where a party is asking questions that suggest that the license holder is providing representative services, there should be a written agreement in place if appropriate intermediary consent should be obtained.